Romans 8 this morning, if you would like to turn in your Bibles. Very wonderful chapter in God's Word. If you're a person who memorizes Scripture, I can almost guarantee that you have at least one verse in your arsenal from Romans chapter 8. Because that's pretty much how it works. This is one of those chapters, isn't it? So we're going to look today at 17 down through 29, just so we can get all the context. So let's start in Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we're going to take our title from verse 18, the sufferings of this present time. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious and powerful word. We love this chapter and this book. And Lord, we just want to hear from you today and pray the Holy Spirit would speak to each of us personally. And Lord, just remind us today that we have suffering, but we have something so much better waiting for us through Jesus. And Lord, may you just encourage us through your word, have your will and way in every life. May we leave change today. We give you the glory and ask you to guide us and love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 17, if we suffer with him. If you're a born again Christian, you will suffer with him. Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all, in Psalm 34, 19. If you look at Philippians 3, 10, quickly, God teaches that suffering for Jesus is God's will. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And then 1 Peter 4:13, if you would quickly, talking about suffering with Christ, not only for Christ, but with Christ. 1 Peter 4:13, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. God wants us to remember that every time we suffer, we're suffering not only for Christ, but we're suffering with Christ. In other words, we are getting a small taste of what Christ went through for us to purchase our redemption. Amen? And the suffering he went through was beyond our comprehension, the Bible teaches. It was horrible. And yet it was necessary. The Bible says God saw him, his soul as an offering for sin. And so all of that suffering was necessary to pay for our sin. And every time we suffer, God says we are suffering with him. And it's an opportunity, as we just read there in 1 Peter chapter 4, to rejoice that we're partakers of his sufferings, that we get to fellowship with his sufferings. And then back in our chapter, verse 18, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, this time on earth, time is so important to us, isn't it? We count the days and the hours and sometimes the minutes or even the seconds. But God says it will end. This present time is just a short time compared to eternity. And he says, but in this present time, there are going to be sufferings. The sufferings of this time on earth, this time from the day we got saved until the day we leave this earth through death or the rapture, there will be sufferings. Philippians 1:29 is a good verse, if you could go there quickly. Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he acknowledged that they had gone through a lot of suffering, a lot of persecution. But notice here in Philippians 1:29, he says, for unto you, talking to the church there, it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him. Amen. I mean, that's a given. You got to start there. You got to believe on Jesus Christ to receive salvation. But look at the rest of the verse. But also to suffer for his sake. He said, that's a given. It's given unto you that not only should you believe on Christ, but you are going to suffer for his sake. The sufferings of this present time. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And he said a similar thing to the church at Thessalonica, who also, as a church, had been going through tremendous suffering, probably more so than the church at Philippi. And look what he says to them, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Don't be surprised. Don't be moved by them. It's an appointment. God has this planned out, and this is God's will. Amen? The sufferings of this present time are God's will. We talked about the sovereignty of God in Sunday school this morning. There is no trial that we go through that's a surprise to God. God never has to play catch up. He never says, oh, you're going through a trial. No, God allowed that trial. And as long as we keep that perspective, we can grow the way he wants us to. As we see later on in this chapter, he can continue to conform us to the image of his son. One more verse, 1 Peter 1:6. And so understand this morning that this present time here on earth, we're already, as we read in verse 17, we're already joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Imagine that. I mean, God didn't just save us from hell and forgive our sins. He made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ himself. And which means our inheritance is his inheritance. Think about that. Anyway, 1 Peter 1:6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaven is through manifold temptations. If need be, who decides that? Our sovereign God. If need be, you need this trial, God says. This present time might seem heavy. It might seem difficult sometimes. What does Paul say? Go back to our passage, Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings that you're going to go through, which are going to sometimes seem heavy, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:16-17, he says they're not even worthy, verse 18, to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says we're not going to get to heaven and say, Lord, that wasn't fair. Lord, that you gave me too much suffering. We're not going to do that. We're going to get to heaven. We're going to be so overwhelmed by what we have inherited as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're going to say, wow, that really wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Thank you, Lord. I really needed that. You used that in my life to conform me and prepare me for this time. And he says, you can't even compare. It's not worthy to be compared. Now, we do in our, you know, in our old man, we do complain and we say, oh, this is so terrible. There could be nothing worse. God says, when you get to heaven, it'll seem like nothing. Because we, look at 1 Corinthians 2:9, have inherited so much. God says here in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that we can't even comprehend how wonderful it will be. Look what it says. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen? He says you can't even comprehend it with your eyes or your ears or what's in your heart. You can't even understand it'll be better than that. And that when we get to heaven, we're going to say, no comparison. Even though the sufferings of this present time seemed heavy at the time, we're going to say, so what? I'm in heaven now. I'm with Jesus now. I've got a mansion now. I'm walking on the streets of gold. I get to spend forever fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters and with Jesus. And we're going to say, no comparison. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here and that I'm here forever. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 3. And down in verses 1 and 2 of 1 John 3, when we got saved, we became God's children. Amen? It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, 1 John 3, 1, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In other words, we don't yet understand. We get little glimpses in the scriptures, but we don't fully comprehend what we shall be. But we know one thing. He says, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. One thing we know, we'll be like Jesus. Our bodies will be like his glorified body after the resurrection. And yet God says, it doth not yet appear. We read, I hath not seen, ear hath not heard. We just can't fully comprehend. But Paul says, one thing you can know for sure, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Amen. Then he spent some time here in verses 19 to 23 talking about how our bodies, which haven't yet been redeemed, now, our spirit and our soul have been redeemed. But this old body is still giving us a bit of trouble, isn't it? Especially as we get older. Aches and pains, sickness, temptations. We could go on and on, couldn't we? This body, what are we waiting for? We're going to be one day delivered even from this body. Verse 21, we shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And he says there, verse 23, not only they, but we ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. When we got saved, God chose not to give us our new body yet. He chose to leave us in this weak shell. And the older we get, the weaker we realize we are. And we wait for the day when we even get delivered from this shell. Amen? And as we read there in 1 John, it'll be like Christ's body. We read that, notice Philippians 3:21, which also tells us the same. Philippians 3:21, it says here, who shall change our vile body. Here God calls it our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. One day will we deliver from this vile body. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. And in the meantime, this is going to be a time of suffering. The sufferings of this present time, which includes this body, which gives us so much trouble. Think about how much trouble the old man gives us when it comes to things like temptation or arthritis. And we go on, couldn't we? This body. And in 2 Corinthians 5:2, God says we desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, talking about our new body. And we're already told what it'll be like. It'll be like Jesus' body. So back to our passage, we read here that we are going to suffer. And that we're suffering with Christ. And that we should rejoice that we get a taste of his sufferings. And that we should patiently wait for what is yet to come, which is beyond our comprehension. Until then, know that we get a new body. But well, look what he says in 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. He tells us there in verse 24, hope that is seen is not hope. Doesn't the Bible say that we walk by faith and not by sight? If you can see it, then you don't have to hope for it. That's what God is saying. That there's no hope there. It's a given. You have it. That was Israel's problem, wasn't it? As long as they could see someone, as long as they could see things, as long as they could experience things physically, they were happy. And then Moses, who all they did was complain about him, he gets up on the mountain to get the commandments from God, and they're like, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? Moses isn't here. Woe is us. We need Moses. This man that we keep complaining about. We need him so bad. Aaron, what are we going to do? Make us a golden calf so we have something to look at. And they said, we have no food. When God rains down food from the sky, well, isn't God wonderful? We have no water. We're going to die. And then God gives them water out of a rock. God is great. It was all by sight. You and I were told not to live that way. And he says, if we can see it, then there's no hope involved. But we can't see it. We can't see heaven. We're given little tiny glimpses in the Bible, but we can't see it. We can't experience it. We hope for it. Amen? And God says in verse 25 that we're to patiently wait for it. While going through the sufferings of this present time, while knowing that they won't even be comparable to the glory that will be revealed in us, God says that we're to patiently wait. We talked a couple weeks ago about how God develops our patience. Part of that is the sufferings. But this hope, amen, looking, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Then he reminds us of verse 28, and I know we're not focusing on 28 today, which is a whole different topic, but he says, we know, while we're going through these sufferings, while we're looking ahead for that great hope, that time that we're going to be with Jesus, that we're going to see heaven and get to live there forever, and when we get there, we'll say, those sufferings were nothing. In the meantime, God has given us some things that we know, that we can sink our teeth into and say, you know what? I know. I know some things. One of the things that I know is that God is always good. Amen? That's what it says in Romans 8:28. Most of us know the verse. We know what? That all things work together for good. How many times have we quoted that passage in our Christian lifetime? All things work together for good. We know this, he says. We might know it mentally, but do we know it in our hearts when that next trial comes? Because God says, we know this. We know a lot of things from Scripture. We know that we have eternal life, right? 1 John 5:13. That you may know that you have eternal life. We know we have eternal life, not because of what we feel, but what the Bible says. And that's how we know that we have heaven awaiting us. We know that God will bless us in heaven. He'll reward us for our hard works. We can't lose our salvation. We know that. We know a lot of things. But what we don't know is what we hope for. We don't know what heaven looks like. We don't know what heaven feels like, do we? We get glimpses, but we just don't know. And those are the things that we hope for while we're going through the sufferings of this present time. But we know that all things work together for good. And we talked about this, I don't know how many months ago, that even waiting is good for us, strengthens our heart. Trials are good for us. Trouble is good for us. Burdens are good for us. Testing, attacks, persecution, trials, hurts, temptations. God says they're all good for us. How do we know this? Because all things, amen, work together for good. All of them. For who? For them that love God. Remember that verse we just looked at in 1 Corinthians 2:9? I had not seen nor ear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. That love him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. And then he reminds us there in verse 29 that the sufferings of this present time, God doesn't just make us suffer so that we can suffer. God allows us to go through suffering because God is always working in our lives. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, that's us. He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. God is constantly conforming us to the image of his Son. And again, we're going to get to heaven. We're going to say no comparison. This glory is so amazing. The sufferings of that present time, no comparison. At the time, yeah, Lord, I complained a few times and I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have. I should have known what you were doing. You were conforming me to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what he's constantly doing. We've read about these verses, but just quickly look at a couple. Romans 5:3. So I just want us to see that God is always consistent in teaching us that the sufferings of this present time, these sufferings that we're going through now on this earth, in this short time that we're on the earth, God always has a purpose. Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, what's the next word? Worketh. Amen? It worketh. 2 Corinthians 4:16, quickly. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what's the next word? Worketh. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God's always working. Always conforming. And a huge part of that is the sufferings of this present time. So what is God teaching us? We have a hope that we can't even comprehend. That is so amazing that when we get to heaven, we're going to say it won't even be worthy to compare the sufferings. Will say, that was nothing. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here. Thank you, Lord, that you worked in my life and were constantly conforming me to the image of Jesus Christ. It's all behind me now. It was nothing. So let's realize God's working. Amen? The sufferings of this present time have a purpose, and that is verse 29, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And the next time we suffer, we're probably suffering now in some form or another. You know, when you look at Job, we find those four categories of suffering that we all go through, right? Physical. His body was attacked. Financial. He lost his living. Family. Lost his children. So our suffering always comes from one of those three. Or the last one, God forbid, friends. Sometimes even our friends attack us. Those guys said they were his friends, and they came and showed up and spent hours, even days, saying, "You deserve this, Job. It's your fault." And they were wrong. But our sufferings usually come from one of those areas, doesn't it? And we never know when the next one's going to come, but we do know this. They have a purpose. And then when we get to heaven, we're going to say, wow, can't compare. So maybe if you haven't memorized it, there's a good memory verse, Romans 8:18. Amen? I reckon, in other words, I know it is true that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How many sufferings are there going to be in this present time? Only the sovereign God knows the answer to that question. But I know that they're not worthy to be compared with the glory when we get our new body and when we're going to be with Jesus forever. So we need to keep that perspective when we face the sufferings of this present time. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we are so blessed to be your children. Lord, help us to never lose sight of our hope in our Savior Jesus. And Lord, help us never to forget that you're always working, always conforming. And may we always keep that perspective on the things you allow us to go through. Thank you so much for speaking to our hearts in such a powerful way through your word today. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus.